Welcome, welcome, Scent Church family and friends and those that might get an opportunity to listen to this. My name is Pastor David, and it's a joy to be one of the pastors at Scent Church and to get to share God's word with you today. We are going to be in Mark chapter 1, primarily verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15, and then we're going to pray, and then we are going to get after it. If everybody's in here, I would say, let's say get after it, and you would say, let's get after it. So let's do that. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. Mark records the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.' The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" This is God's good word to us. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your good word. Thank you that you use it to speak to us, to our hearts and to our minds. And in a time like this where things feel a bit uncertain and lots of people have lots of questions, we pray that your word would go forth with power and authority and would speak into our hearts and our minds the good news of Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you entered in to our world and that you proclaimed the greatest news in all of human history to our hearts. I pray this morning or whenever people are listening to this, that your gospel would penetrate their hearts in a powerful and profound way, so much so that our lives, their lives, would never be the same because of it. Thank you. We need you. I need you now. Please use me to faithfully proclaim your word to your people and to the world. It's in your beautiful name we pray and ask these things, Jesus. Amen. So I said just a few minutes ago, my name's David, get to be a pastor at Scent Church. But before that, I get to be a husband and a daddy. And it's one of my greatest joys in all of life. I'm married to an amazing woman, married way out of my league, outkicked my coverage, all of those things. And we have four beautiful kids at home. And so for us, the last couple weeks, we've been social distancing and self-quarantining, have had its challenges, but we've enjoyed it in a lot of ways. So I'll get to the challenges in a moment. But I want to start with a few things we've enjoyed. We've loved being able to just get time together, lots of uninterrupted, in a lot of ways, time together. I have enjoyed so much getting to have three meals a day with my family around our dinner table, breakfast table, and lunch table. The trampoline and the basketball goal that grandparents hooked our kids up with for Christmas are coming in super handy these days. We've loved our time in the backyard playing and jumping and just imagining and hitting baseballs and having so much fun together. Last week, we even got to have an outdoor movie together before the rain interrupted our plans. We've enjoyed just reading together and times together in this moment in our culture. But if I'm really honest, it hasn't all been amazing. Some of you don't have little kids at home, but those of you that do, I'm certainly sure can relate. Others of you have different stories of why it hasn't been amazing. For us, it hasn't been amazing for a lot of reasons, but mostly because there's six sinful people living under one roof and we can't really go anywhere. And our little kids are amazing. I love them like crazy, but they often can be difficult. This especially happens when mommy and daddy are trying to get a minute to ourselves. will send the kids off to play by themselves for just a few minutes, and there's only a very limited amount of time before they're going to run back in and declare to us horrible news. Horrible news like someone's crying, and they're going to declare horrible news like, hey, my brother or sister form tackled me, or they hit me, or they wrestled me, or they slammed me into the dresser, or they messed up my coloring sheet or my baby dolls, or they destroyed the Legos that I was building, or my favorite from last week, they stabbed me with a pencil. All of this negative news that our kids are bringing to us made the good news that my two boys brought to my wife and I yesterday very, very sweet. After a quick workout, we were getting our sweat on, a burn boot camp in the living room, and my wife and I got our sweat on. It was exhausting, and then we went out to the back porch to just relax and cool down for a minute, and we anticipated it wouldn't be long because we had sent the kids off to play by themselves. It wouldn't be long before one of them would come out and declare horrible news. But this time it was different. They came out on the porch and my boys came with wonderful news. Here's what they declared. They declared, Mommy, Daddy, please come look at our room. We've cleaned it spotless and made our beds perfectly. Would you come look at how amazing it is? And this was wonderful, delightful news. Not only had they not stabbed each other with a pencil, they had cleaned their room and made their bed in a beautiful way so that Mommy and Daddy didn't have to do it. Similarly, you and I, these past couple weeks, have been bombarded with bad news. We will continue to be bombarded with bad and uncertain news all over our social media feeds and all over our news screens. And this morning, my hope, or this afternoon or this evening, wherever you might be listening, whenever you might be listening to this, and wherever you might be, my hope and prayer is that through all of the bad news, all of the negative news, all of the uncertain news, that God would use His Word to speak clearly to our hearts the greatest news in all of the universe. That we would hear from Jesus, the King of the world, the second person of the Trinity, the divine Son of God, the gospel of God. And it would change us. That it would change everything about who we are and how we view the world in this moment in time. In fact, as we come to Mark this morning, that's what I want us to see. I want us to see King Jesus here, particularly in verses 14 and 15, that King Jesus proclaims the greatest news in all of human history to the entire world. With that in mind, with that big idea in mind, I would like for us to look at three things. How he proclaims this news. Second, who exactly is this King Jesus that's proclaiming this news? And then thirdly, what exactly is he proclaiming? What is this gospel of God, this news that he is proclaiming? So first this morning in the text, how is Jesus proclaiming? In verse 14, it says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. We see here in verse 14 that Jesus proclaims live. He's proclaiming live. He's entered into a town. He came into Galilee. I don't want us to just zoom over that before we jump into verse 15 and actually what he's proclaiming. I want us to see how he's doing it. He is coming to us live. People are going live all over the internet these days. And what I want us to see here is that Jesus is coming into town, into time and space, with a live in-person message for his audience. He comes live. He enters into the mess. He enters into the uncertainty. Excuse me. And he is bringing news in a live way. Over the next couple weeks, we'll be looking at some stories in Mark as we look forward to the resurrection of Jesus and celebrate Easter together in this brief series in Mark. And one of the reasons we know that Jesus didn't just come live then, but he's coming live to us now, is because we know and we celebrate every single day that Jesus is resurrected, that he is alive, he is well, and he's able to, by the power of the Spirit, through the inspired word, come to us right now, today, wherever we're at, in our living rooms, in our cars, wherever we might be, Jesus is coming to us live, the same way that he came in to Galilee. I also want us to notice about how he comes live. He's entering into the suffering. He's entering into the uncertainty of his world and our world. He enters in. He's not far off. He is a Jesus, a King who is near. You see, this is one of the many things that sets Christianity apart from other world religions. and so many other religions in the world, you and I must do our part in order to seek after and run after whatever little g God we're trying to get to in hopes that they might accept us. In Christianity, the beautiful message of the gospel is that Jesus enters into our world live. He comes into the uncertainty. He pursues us. He comes into Galilee here, and today he wants to come into your heart and my heart. My prayer this morning is that a little red blinking notification, whatever it might look like, would come into all of our hearts and all of our minds this morning that Jesus is going live. He has a word for you and I. He is declaring to you and me today the gospel of God. In these times of uncertainty, Jesus enters in. You see, it says here in verse 14, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee. Now, I don't want to make the text say something it's not saying just to apply it to our uncertain culture and time right now. But I do believe it's right to say and faithful to the text to say that there was some uncertainty surrounding what's going on in the world right now. For at least, at the very least, we can argue that John and his disciples were uncertain. We know from other gospel accounts that while John's in prison waiting to be beheaded, that he would send back word to Jesus and ask him, are you the Messiah or should we look for someone else? He was uncertain about what was going on in the world. And Jesus responded back, I am the Messiah. In other certain words. For you and I, we need to understand right now that in whatever uncertain circumstances we have going on, whatever anxiousness we might feel in our hearts, whatever uncertainty the news media might try to portray to us, Jesus comes certain and secure as the King of the universe that we'll talk about more in just a minute, but he comes and enters into our world and proclaims live. Lots of people will go live these days. I actually did it for the first time this past week. I'm not a live social media kind of guy. Maybe I will be after this pandemic. But apparently so many people went live last week that they almost broke Facebook. Lots of people will continue to go live in the coming days and weeks. We will decide who is worth our time. We will decide who we swipe off the screen and say, no, I don't care that you are live. We'll get an immediate notification and we'll either swipe it off or listen to it based on who they are and what authority they have in our lives. The reality for you and I today, right now in this moment, is that Jesus Christ, through his word, is coming live to our hearts. And my prayer is that we would listen, that we would listen. And I pray that we would listen based on who he is. So the first question was, how is he proclaiming? The second question is, who is this Jesus that's proclaiming? And that brings us to our second point. Jesus proclaims as Lord. We see here in verse 15, or after verse 14, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, here's what he's proclaiming. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is short, sweet, to the point, much like all of Mark's gospel. He doesn't mince word. He gets right to the point. That's part of why I enjoy this gospel so much. But Jesus is getting to the point here. But the point he's making here in verse 15, he's coming with authority. The long-awaited Messiah and the second person of the Trinity is proclaiming live to your heart today. This is why we should listen to what he is saying. And here in verse 15 of Mark chapter 1, we see him, his actual declaration shows that he is Lord. What he is saying demands that he is Lord. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. This announcement here is an all-out declaration of war on any and all other kingdoms out there, including your kingdoms and mine. He's saying to us, there's only one king and there's only one kingdom ultimately that we should submit our lives to. Jesus says, the time is at hand, as if to say, enough of this mess, enough of this brokenness, enough of this hurt and pain and uncertainty in the world. Look to me. The time is at hand to look to me, to trust in me and hope in my kingdom. I am the true king, he is declaring, and I will reign in my kingdom and you should get in on it. I've been watching through a couple of Avengers movies on Disney Plus some Marvel's movies on Disney Plus, and one of my favorites is the original Avengers, and there's a scene in there, spoiler alert, sorry, this is like, I know, bad deal, but if you haven't seen Avengers by now, you probably never will, so God bless you and your family. But there's a scene in the first Avengers where Loki comes into town, and essentially he's trying to rule and reign, and he tells everybody, essentially, hey, you are made to be ruled. He's talking to the human race, and his whole deal is he's going to come to Earth and rule everybody because they were made to be ruled by a god. And he tells them that, and one of the cool parts of the movie is that there's this older gentleman that stands up and basically says, we're not going to be ruled by gods like you. What I want us to realize here through that illustration is that we were indeed, Loki's not off. We were created and made to be ruled and submit to authority. But the old guy in the movie's right. We're not to submit to broken and crooked rulers like Loki. You and I have a problem with thinking about kings and kingdom in our culture because we're not all too familiar with them. But the hard truth is that most of us want to be our own king. So as long as things are going well, we will submit to another king or kingdom, as long as our personal interest and reign is not interrupted. But what Jesus is doing here is altogether different. He is announcing that he is the one true king of the one and only eternal kingdom of God. There can be no other king or kingdom. This is who is proclaiming as Lord to us. There's a book called Faith Mapping written by Daniel Montgomery and Mike Cosper. They say in that book, talking about this idea of Jesus being king, imagine what it would be like in Britain or in the U.S. today if without an election or any other official mechanism for changing the government, someone were to go on national radio and television and announce that there was now a new prime minister or president. From today onward, says the announcer, we have a new ruler. We're under new government. It's all going to be different. That's not only exciting talk, it's fighting talk. It's treason. It's sedition. By what right is this man saying this? How does he think he'll get away with it? What exactly does he mean anyway? An announcement like this isn't simply a proclamation. It's the start of a campaign. They go on to say it's a declaration of war against the competing claims for authority, and it's an invasion of God's power and rule. Jesus was proclaiming as Lord. He is today proclaiming as Lord. Ultimately, this is what got Jesus killed. This is what got Jesus killed. The people listening to him understood what he was announcing. In fact, Daniel Montgomery and Mike Cosper go on to say, Jesus' use of kingdom language was not simply poetic. It was a scandalous reality that got him killed. So this begs the question for you and I, who is this Jesus? And does he have the right or the authority to make such a bold and scandalous claim? And the answer that we see throughout the Bible, specifically throughout the Gospel of Mark, is yes, he does. And he goes on to prove it time and time again, that not only is he Lord, but he is a good Lord that we'll talk about in just a moment. He is a good and gracious Lord who, yes, has all authority, but is good and kind, benevolent and gracious and merciful, and is at work pushing back on the brokenness and the hurt and the darkness in this world. And he shows us that all too often throughout the Gospel of Mark, where he's healing diseases and casting out demons and taking care of sickness and loving on people and calling people to himself. He is proclaiming to your heart and my heart as Lord today. We must all decide, will we submit to him as Lord? Will we trust him as Lord? Not only does he, but as he proclaims as Lord, and as we're deciding, shall we submit to him as Lord, we need to listen lastly to what exactly he's proclaiming as his message. And that's our third point today in the passage, that Jesus proclaims life. Jesus proclaims life. He proclaimed the truth with authority, and he is proclaiming in that truth life for you and I. Hope. He's proclaiming it for you and I today. He says here in verse 15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This word gospel here, it means good news at its simplest form. Originally, it was most often used after an army or a military won a battle or a war to share the good news with those back home. After securing victory, what would happen is they would send a messenger, an evangelist, if you will, to share the good news with the people back home, saying to them, victory has been won. You're secure. You're free. Your hope is secure because the people on the battlefield won the victory to you. They were declaring a gospel. They were declaring good news. Evangelists were sent to declare this, to say to people, you are free from whatever threat of tyranny and oppression you are under. And here's the reality for you and I today, and why Jesus came on the scene to say to us, repent and believe in the gospel, is that all of us are under the threat of tyranny and oppression, primarily of our own sin and our own wickedness and our own rebellion against the holy God. And we see this all over the world, all over the brokenness, not just because of the disease that's currently going on, but we see brokenness over and over and over again in our world. And there must be a remedy for this brokenness from outside of humanity and from outside of the world if it will ultimately be healed. And Jesus enters in, he comes live into our world, and he proclaims his Lord, and he proclaims life to us. Jesus is telling us all to repent and believe the gospel, the good news. So what's the good news of the Bible? What is the Bible's answer to all of the world's problems? It's ultimately found in a person, Jesus Christ. And the Bible would teach us that back in Genesis 2, God created the world and everything was, back in Genesis 1 and 2, that God created the world and everything was good and amazing. And then in Genesis 3, sin entered the world and everything was broken and fractured. But God promised not to leave it that way. In Genesis 3:15, we see the promise of a Redeemer who would come to make all things right. And from Genesis 3 on, until this gospel is proclaimed by Jesus and Mark, there's promise, there's hope of a Messiah who will come to make all things right. And here in Mark, Jesus comes onto the scene declaring, I have come to declare the gospel with my life and my lips. That Jesus ultimately would come and live a perfect life and die a brutal death in our place for our sin and then rise again victorious over sin, death, and hell. And any and all who believe in this gospel message will have abundant and eternal life with him forever. Jesus is proclaiming the gospel. You see here, in this passage, he's telling us to repent and believe. His message is the gospel, and it's clear. And he's teaching it with ultimate authority. And he's calling all of us to repent, to change direction, to change our mind from believing that we can be king, from believing that we know what is best, from believing that our way is right and good, and trusting in him and his way and his kingdom, and looking to his kingdom as better, the one that we're longing for, the one that we're hoping for, where sickness is no more, where death is no more, where lying is no more, where brokenness doesn't exist anymore. We can experience that because of the resurrection of Jesus. You see, Tim Keller says this in his book, Jesus the King. The gospel is not about choosing to follow advice. It's about being called to follow a king. Not just someone with the power and authority to tell you what needs to be done, but someone with the power and authority to do what needs to be done and then offer it to you as good news. So it's one thing for Jesus to proclaim to us as Lord. It's another thing for him to proclaim the good news that he is our substitute, that he died in our place for our sin, that all the brokenness, that all of our rebellion against God and against one another and all of the hurt and the pain that we experience in this world can only be remedied as we look to Jesus and trust in him. We all know something's wrong with the world, and we all, if we're honest with ourselves, know something is wrong with us. We're wicked to the core, in need of a Savior. And Jesus says to us, repent and believe in the gospel. Trust in me. The time is at hand. Trust in Jesus today. He's come to not only redeem us, but also redeem our broken world. He dealt with our sin and he deals with the sin of the world by going to a cross and dying in our place for our sin. He is at work today amid a pandemic. He is still king. He is still ruling. He is still reigning. And what he is doing is drawing our hearts to himself, declaring to us over and over again the gospel of God and telling us to repent and thinking we have control. Repent and thinking we can do it on our own. Repent and thinking that we can somehow find hope in things outside of him. We can't have hope in our jobs, in our relationships, in anything in this world, in the economy. We have hope, certain hope, only and solely in Jesus Christ. And so I have one question for us today or whenever you're listening to this. And that's this. How are you and I currently responding to the King's proclamation? How are we responding currently to the King's proclamation? There are lots of proclamations being made right now in our city and in our world. And lots of people are responding to them in lots of different ways, right? People are, government officials are saying, stay home and social distance and quarantine. And lots of people aren't listening. You should listen to that, by the way, and love your neighbor well by social distancing and self-quarantining. But there's lots of people that are making lots of proclamations and lots of people are deciding how they're going to listen. Today, Jesus proclaims live to you as Lord of the universe that the hope that you have for this life, the only hope you and I have in this life and the next, is that we would trust in Him, that we would repent and believe in Jesus as our Savior. And so here's what you and I must do today. We must respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The action is to repent and believe. Repent of thinking that you're king. Repent of thinking that your way is the best way. And believe that He is king, that He's good, that He loves us, and that He's ruling and reigning victorious over death, hell, disease, and the grave today, and that He is in control, and that we can trust Him, that we would believe in this good gospel. We should believe that Jesus is king, that He died for you, that He rose for you. Believe that Jesus is our only hope in life and death. Believe that you are far worse off than you even know and that His grace is far greater than you can even imagine. Believe that if you die to yourself and your way of thinking, that you will be united to Christ for all eternity. Believe that death has been defeated today. Believe that all disease will be ended one day. Believe that we have certain hope and nothing to fear because of the perfect, finished work of Jesus. Believe that you and I's lives have been completely altered because of this proclamation of good news. And then let's act accordingly. Way more than proclamations are being made, way more proclamations will be made about the pandemic in our world right now. Many of them will be negative, be filled with anxiety and fear. But for you and I, Jesus is proclaiming to us today, there's hope, there's certain hope, there's security, there's a different reality that is coming in the kingdom of Jesus. And He is inviting us all to this. I pray that this news is the news that you and I would listen to and trust in above all other newses in the world. Back to Daniel Montgomery and Mike Cosper from Faith Mapping one more time. They say the gospel of God's kingdom is the life with God under the rule of our King Jesus. This life is announced by Jesus and made available through Jesus to all people. Simply put, the kingdom of God is the good life in Jesus. This is what Jesus is proclaiming to you and I today. He's proclaiming it live. He's inviting us to join in His kingdom, to hope in His kingdom, the certain kingdom that He offers to us. It's a far greater kingdom than the ones we have in this world. If you've never heard this good news, you've never submitted your life to Jesus as Lord, I would invite you to do so today. I would say to you, call out to Him wherever you're at in prayer. Repent of seeking to do life your own way and trust in Jesus. If you don't know how to do this or you have more questions about what it means to trust in Jesus and follow His kingdom, you can comment here on this video or you can email one of our pastors at pastors@centcharlotte.org. And we would love to talk with you more about what it means to follow Jesus with your life. For those of us that know Jesus, I pray that we would cling to the hope that we have in Him, that we would trust in the gospel of God, that we would be a people who ongoingly repent and believe in the gospel. King Jesus Christ has proclaimed the greatest news in all of human history to the whole world, and we must all respond to Him today. How will you and I respond to His proclamation and invitation? Let's pray together. God, we love You. We need You. Please help us to respond appropriately to the reality that You are Lord and that in Your kingdom You reign and that in all the world You reign. I pray that we would trust You with our lives. We would submit to Your good lordship in our lives and hope in You and in You alone. God, thank You that You bring us certain hope in the midst of uncertain times. I pray that You would use Your word to change people's hearts and lives and minds, and that people would trust in You, Jesus, because of Your word empowered by Your Spirit. Move, work, do what only You can through this preaching, through technology, to move in our hearts. We love You. We need You. Thank You that You're good and You're in control. We trust You. It's in Your beautiful name we pray, Christ Jesus. Amen.